The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into Conversations That Nobody Wants to Have. I'm David Sears, and today I'm joined by my cousin, Lauren Allen. She is pretty awesome. She is, through marriage, a cousin of mine, and she is part of a growing trend in America right now where spirituality is growing among people 35 and younger. However, it's not the traditional type of spirituality that tends to be growing right now. It is paganism, Wiccanism, and Satanism. So we're going to kind of get into a little bit of that right now. So would you define yourself as a pagan, or how would you define yourself?
That is such a, for me, a loaded question. I usually tell people generally, because most people don't understand, not trying to be mean, but a lot of people really don't understand. So I usually just tell people I'm agnostic, but I guess I teeter more so along the lines of, yeah, probably call myself a pagan. And I kind of dabble, though, honestly, in like different ideologies and like different religions, if that makes sense.
So like Zoroastrianism stuff, was that?
Well, I mean, Zoroastrianism is actually very cool, but no, I don't really dabble in that because you have to be, that's a religion that you have to be born into. You can't like convert. So I kind of just, I like reading about it, but I don't really adopt any of that just to keep that cultural respect because you have to be born into that religion, which is why it's kind of dwindling. But no, more like Baha'ism. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I have
or not. There's actually a Baha'i temple in Huntsville. I've never been, but I learned about that religion when I first started college years ago. And I'm probably oversimplifying it, but it's basically a religion and a lifestyle that incorporates all religions, all major world religions. It's kind of the belief that we all probably worship the same God or same deity, we just do it a different way. Does that make sense?
So it's kind of like Unitarianism?
Yeah, I guess kind of like that, yeah. I guess you could kind of call it like that. And so I kind of like to incorporate that because I am known to troll people about, you know, God and Jesus and stuff, but only like the Christian nationalist. But I don't necessarily not believe that there's probably not a Christian God. I just don't subscribe to the, the Bible per se. Does that make sense?
I get you. You believe there is something bigger than humans, but that is not confined to the Bible. Would that be an accurate way to say it?
Yeah, and I think that's an accurate way of saying it. And actually, I mean, I have it myself because honestly, I kind of consider myself like a baby witch and I really haven't
Have you gone to Hogwarts yet?
No, I haven't gone to Hogwarts yet. I haven't got my acceptance letter.
Still hoping. Right?
Yeah. I haven't read my tarot cards in a while and I really haven't done as many like craft or spell work as I've been wanting to do. I feel like I just get so bogged down in work and I just have kind of let it fall to the wayside. But I say that to say, because I like to get on Witch Talk and there are kind of, I think what got me interested, well, I've always been interested in, I guess, like magic and stuff, you know, and like vampires and witchcraft, all that stuff. I mean, because, you know, Hollywood, I've always been interested in that type of thing. But I mean, like, really sort of got me, I guess, deviating away from like societal norms as far as religion goes is a couple years ago because I found this community on TikTok of like Christian witches and people that believe in Jesus and God, but they worship using like, you know, nature and like witchcraft and stuff like that. And the other day I saw somebody talk about maybe like doing divination with like, thank you, with like Jesus, because in that kind of view, they view more Jesus as like a wizard or a witch Does that make sense?
I get you. He's a spiritual, powerful being who has powers beyond this world. This way you look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what led you down that path to this form of spiritualism / Wiccanism / paganism?
Well, also too, real quick, before I get to that, another thing that I've been interested in is the
Nostradamus?
Gnosticism. Okay. Which, do you know much about Christian Gnosticism?
I do not. Enlighten me.
So it is, and I mean, I have a book and I've been listening to, sometimes I listen to it on Spotify because I don't always sit down and read, but it's, again, I'm probably oversimplifying it, but it is a form of, well, it would be, it's considered heretical, but it was a form of Christianity back when other branches of Christianity first formed, you know, many moons ago, after Jesus, but it takes on a kind of like an Eastern spiritualism with Christianity. And it's this idea of like enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So it includes a lot of that into it. And it's really interesting and actually kind of makes a lot of sense to me. So a lot of Gnostics believe that the God of the Bible is not the actual like supreme God. And they refer to him as the demiurge. And so it's this idea that there is one supreme God, but the demiurge was jealous because he was not that God. So he like created his own planet, which would be like Earth, and created his own followers. And that's why in the Bible it says you shouldn't have any other gods before me, because, and that's why he's portrayed as a jealous God, because he knows he's not the actual like all being God. I know it sounds crazy, but
that is an interesting take. I've never heard that before.
But it is, I don't know where my room's a mess. I don't know where my book is, but it goes back to like, there's a lot of ancient texts that were like uncovered. I'm not an expert and I'm probably murdering the date, but like ancient texts that were uncovered years ago, like in the 40s in Egypt. And I think it was Egypt. Yeah. And so it's an interesting take on Christianity and more of a like an enlightenment instead of what you traditionally see.
So but instead, they of, were, you instead know, of rules to follow, it's more about making yourself better and one with the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. And just doing good for people. But a lot of those groups, you know, they got squashed out by the rise of like the Catholic Church and, you know, the
Great Bible Convention.
So, but what led me down this path, honestly, probably, growing up in a Southern Baptist Church of Christ home.
Oh, wow. You got the best of both worlds, Church of Christ.
Yeah, so
and Southern Baptist. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense. Cause again, both are very strict upbringing. A lot of no music, no dancing, none of the fun stuff, as people like to say. No, both frown upon drinking and premarital sex and look at it that way. So was it just an act of rebellion, or were you just seeking something that you were not getting from either one of those branches of Christianity?
Well, growing up, while I was always interested in like witchcraft, you know, liked reading about it and watching movies about it, I didn't really, you know, take in anything. I did have like my goth phase. So, you know, I guess that was my way of rebelling back then, but without explicitly like using religion, because like my stepdad was Church of Christ, my mom was Southern Baptist, and my mom and I back then did butt heads a lot. And my stepdad too, about like me wearing all black. It was really stupid. And so
this is post-Columbine too. So a lot of people were leery of people wearing black clothing and the goth look, even though the two shooters had nothing to do with that.
And like my mom would accuse me of being like a Satanist, and I'm trying to like, just crazy things, which, well, that's something of a story for another day. Wanda's something. But, I guess as far, but I never felt so. I went to like Bible camp and I would go like on missions and stuff like that. Did the whole shebang growing up in the South, you know, and I just always remember like, and now looking back as an adult, I feel like some of it was probably forced. Mm-hmm. But at the time I would look around at my peers and see them like, you know, crying or like really being moved and all this other stuff. And I just never felt that. Never. I just always, I mean, like I would go to church. I thought church was boring. It is boring. And maybe it's just my ADHD, but I just never thought it was, any of it was really interesting. I just did not care for church at all. And so, but I just never felt that connection that I always saw what seemed like other people were having. Now, maybe they're just putting on a show because they felt like that's what they were supposed to do. And it was kind of like mob rules. So one person did it and they all started doing it, you know, but I just never felt that connection. And I don't like the idea of, but I guess why I never really turned to like atheism or like full on is because I don't like the idea of just thinking that we're the only ones here. So I find comfort in believing that there's gotta be a higher power. But I just don't like the, I think growing up in the South, Christianity, it was just really tainted for me. You know, I'm not saying there's bad Christian. Like I have a few Christian, like actual, what I would consider true Christian friends, not these crazed Christian nationalists running around, you know, but, I think it seems like this day and age, they're few and far in between. So, I don't know. I'm sorry if that was a long-winded answer. I feel like I'm rambling.
That's all right. No, you're answering questions. We're tying it in. We're weaving. That's part of the fun of a podcast. We're just getting to learn everything about this. So you felt there was a higher power, but you were mm-hmm. unable to connect with it at Church of Christ Church or Southern Baptist Church. So when mm-hmm. you went to college and you were you exposed to more of these branches of Wiccanism and spiritualism, or did it just something you got to college like, I have a hole in my life, I need to fill it with this?
That's a good question. Actually, when I was right before I got divorced, or when I was still married and right before I got divorced, I actually met a friend at Bevel. And I mean, we're not as close as we once were, but we still keep in touch. And she actually introduced me to a lot of ideas of like paganism and Wicca and things like that. But I still didn't really dabble in it because I felt guilt, honestly. Like I felt this overtone of, I think, just religious guilt. And like, this is cool and all, but I can't dabble in this because I'm going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. And I still felt like that controlling me, but it was also a really dark point in my life. Cause like I said, I was getting divorced from my ex-husband who was abusive. So there was just a lot going on at that time. And, and then when I got to college, like an undergrad, I don't really know. It feels like a lifetime ago. So I'm truly trying to think like I don't really know if I actually really met anybody that necessarily like practice paganism, if that makes sense. Like I met more open-minded people in general, but I didn't meet like any witch friends, you mm-hmm. know, or anything like that when I was an undergrad. But I remember I was actually dating a guy at the time who told me that he'd come out, like he felt like he was more of an atheist. And I felt my like world shatter. Almost, because I think I was still trying to cling to this idea that I'm a Christian. And so maybe that was probably part of the catalyst, because I started like looking at myself differently. Like, am I really a Christian though? Like, do I really actually subscribe to all this? Like, you know, like, I don't know.
I get you. So it was a series of events culminating with the divorce. Would you say?
Yeah, I would say that. Of course, like I said, my childhood. And I would say that because my ex-husband, his family was Church of Christ. So again, the Church of Christ influence. And, you know, in Church of Christ, you don't get divorced. Like, it's really frowned upon. And so I actually struggled, even though, and I'm glad I did, obviously, but at the time, like, I knew it was the right decision for me, but I really struggled with it because I'm like, well, I don't think that a loving God would want me to be in an unhappy marriage, right? Like, he would want me out of this. So, but that was a struggle for me. I felt like, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell, but, you know, I can't live in the, live like this anymore. So I really, you know, with that too, grappled with, I guess, the idea of like, is there a loving God? I mean, like, why would, if there's a loving God, why do we have like domestic violence, and why do we, and working with kids in foster care, why do we have kids that, you know, are suffering? And so it's just, it's been a journey, I guess.
So now that you're in this new world of spiritualism and paganism, Wiccanism, all of that tied together, mm-hmm. are there people that you meet with, you have a coven or anything like that, that you practice with, or are you a lone wolf? And looking for your wolf pack?
I'm serious when I say it, but like sometimes I do have a couple of gal pals that are interested in it. And I have said before, like, why don't we just start a coven? But like, do we have like weekly meetings and stuff like that? Like, no, but I mean, like we talk about it. Like there are people that I can openly talk to about like this stuff that's, you know, that people are interested in it and stuff. So I do have like a group of friends in that sense, but do we like all get together and do stuff and like dance under the moon? No, but I would like to.
why do you think we're starting to see this grow with people under 35?
I think, well, I don't want to say, and like, I'm not trying to offend anybody, because I know, like, I understand that there's a difference between like religion, essentially, and then like having a relationship with God. But so I know it's easy to conflate those two ideologies. So I'm not trying to say anything that could be misconstrued. But I think we're seeing a lot of, I guess, just pushback and realizing that, in my opinion anyway, and I think a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people that have shared the same sentiment, is this idea, again, especially here in the South and in America, I think that you're seeing a lot of people push back against this oppressive nature that has become intertwined, I think, with Christianity and this idea that religion really was created to essentially oppress people. So I think people are kind of starting to realize that. I also think too, with social media, and you know, it's so easy to access information now that you probably didn't know about before. And that can lead people down like a rabbit hole of thinking like, well, maybe I don't actually think this, maybe I don't really think this way. Maybe I'm more like into this, or I should try this, or, you know, I think it's a hodgepodge of things. And I think also too, like ancestry, for example, when I got my results back, said that I was like hella Welsh. So, and I've always been interested in the Celtic, you know, history and things of that nature. And so I think a lot of people here in America, especially, might be getting more into spirituality and things of that nature because they're trying to maybe connect with like their ancestors, so to speak, or, you know, like, does that make sense?
Getting back to what people practice before the Christian, the Holy Roman Empire expanded and all of that. I get that.
Yeah.
Now, when you say you were wanting to get back to your roots, so have you looked into Celtic and religions and seen what they do? And are there any practicing Celtic religions today that you would get into?
Yeah. And which there's a whole hodgepodge. And actually, like Wicca, for example, you know, that's a fairly new religion that was started, like you were talking about. You know, it's like a neo-pagan religion that was kind of started to, in the whole idea of like trying to get back to the time before like Christian influence and things of that nature. So, but when I say, I guess, getting back to roots, I can't speak for anybody else, but especially with like ancestry, I feel like for me personally, like I've always felt this calling to like go to Wales or like go to Ireland or Scotland. Like I've always felt like that's like home, even though I've never been. I don't know if that makes sense, but just like this calling. And I feel like in America, like I grew up, you know, we grew up here, but it's like, it doesn't necessarily like this land doesn't feel like home. And I feel like that makes me sound like a crazy person, but I can't, that's just how I
You feel called to the motherland, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you called to the motherland.
you're Danny Boy, and the pipes are calling.
Yes.
Now, I mean, I get that when you see a lot of what Christianity has become today, with the mega churches, with the people on TV who are putting profit with an FIT in front of profit instead of a PHET. I understand that and how that can turn, but you still want some type of spiritual relationship. So I can see people reaching for what they can find. And
yeah,
I see a lot of people who claim to be Christian who act very unchristian with the way they treat others, the way they basically look down upon the poor, and as God is cursing you for mistakes you've made. That's why you're poor. So with that being said, what do you think could draw you back to the church?
Probably nothing.
Not even if they did a 180 and repented refuted Trump and all of his machinations.
I mean, like, I would be happy for him, but I just don't. It's,
you don't like the rules and structure.
It's not my thing. And actually, you were saying that, and it reminded me of this. This is also probably another reason, or I know another reason that kind of led me down this, is because I remember sitting in Sunday school and they were talking about homosexuality and how gay people are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And without saying any names, I knew my dad, I don't guess they're really friends anymore, but at the time had a really good friend who I've kept up with on and off over the years, who was or is, you know, gay. And she and they are like one of the best people I've ever met and known. So that was always hard for me to reconcile that and this idea of like, if you practice any other religion, you're not going to go to heaven. So you mean to tell me that a Buddhist who has dedicated their entire life to peace and protecting life, I mean, like, if they see a spider, they're going to not kill it. They're going to pick it up and take it outside. I'm going to kill it. But like, you mean to tell me that they're going to go to hell, even though they've dedicated their entire life to helping other people and spreading peace? And that was, I think, always an issue that I had that I could not reconcile. And I don't actually believe that, though. I don't personally believe that. I don't think that, again, if there is a loving God, I don't know why a loving God would want to send his, you know, creations to hell just because, you know, they might have practiced religion differently or they loved somebody of the same sex. You know what I mean? So that was always hard for me to reconcile that, because I'm like, I don't think if he's the God of love, why would he do that?
Now, do you have spiritual books or texts that you read, or are there holy books that Wiccans and pagans refer to?
You mean kind of like a Bible?
Like, yeah, just kind of like a Bible or a Quran or a Torah.
No, I mean, like, I have books. I'm actually reading a book right now. I thought I had it with me, but I guess it's in the living room. And it was written, it's about, well, specifically like Welsh magic and like the history of Wales. And I have like a book, like I said, about the Gnostic Gospels. I have like different books like that, but like a cassette book. No. And I guess that's another reason why I like it, is like, paganism is because you're kind of just free to just kind of like make up your own rules, or make, you know, like, I know I don't have one, but like a grimoire, for example, like, you know, a lot of modern witches will, you know, keep like a book and they'll write down like spells or whatever that, you know, that they want to practice, but there's not like a one book. That makes sense.
I got you. There's spells you'll learn, but there's no ultimate spell book with everything to it. Now, earlier this year, what really made me reach out to you, you kind of got into a bit where you started posting about Satanism online and the tenets of Satanism, like the Ten Commandments of that. What made you look into that religion?
Well, actually, I actually have am considering, because you asked me about a community joining the Satanic Temple, because it was created as a reactionary movement in 2013. It's actually, they're not even, they don't actually believe in Satan. They use Satan more as a figurehead to just kind of as a figure of rebellion, basically. And they actually do a lot of community work. A lot of the, like they do a lot of charity work. And it's really just more of a reaction to like these extreme Christians. And, but now it is considered legally a religion, even though most of the members are atheist or agnostic or whatever. Like they don't really actually believe in Satan, but it's more of just a ha f- you.
Yes. The F you to, the Christians of the day who are very much, I know they mean well, but some of them are so holy roller and so strict and unforgiving and rigid that they don't mm-hmm. see the gray areas or anything like that.
So, yeah. So like a good example would be like Moms for Liberty, which is really an ironic name because it's liberty for me, but not for you. But like they, but yeah, like the, that organization or the Satanic Church was created essentially to like push back against organizations like Moms for Liberty and things that push a religious agenda.
Now, does it have ties to the original Satanism group out of California that started in the 60s?
Mm-mm, so they don't.
Are they starting to branch off into different branches of Satanism now? We're seeing different sects.
Yeah.
Are we going to have Southern Satanists compared to California Satanists and the mainstream Satanists? And
well, actually, I kind of fell down this deep dive years ago, but actually, there are different, yeah, there are different sects, and there are actual like Luciferians that do believe in the biblical Satan. Now I don't know what their practices are, or what exactly they all believe, but I know that they exist. But then you have, like I said, like self-proclaimed like atheist Satanists, that it's more like Satan is just more of a figurehead of rebellion. But they don't necessarily believe in the biblical Satan. I can't think of her name. And actually, I haven't even like seen her lately on my For You page. But there is a TikToker that I follow. And she describes herself as a satanic atheist. And she's from the South. And she's kind of talked about like her upbringing. And I feel like I could really kind of identify with a lot of it. Her, you know, just having similar backgrounds and things of that nature. So
when you started looking into Satanism and the tenets of Satanism, what about them attracted you to it?
Well, I just feel like they're good tenets to follow. Like for the most part, some of them, I mean, like, you know, not doing harm to others, you know, and not hurting children. You know, that's one of them. You don't hurt children. And just it's rooted around just helping people and helping your community.
When you see what religion has become in the United States, as it's become so us versus them, essentially, and people ignoring the teachings of Jesus, what does that make you feel about religion as a whole?
It makes me sad. It makes me angry because I feel like the prosperity gospel has really ruined Christianity, like you mentioned earlier. Like it's this idea that you're poor because God doesn't look on you favorably, and if you're rich, that means that you're loved by God. And it gives people, I feel like it's just giving people an excuse to demonize poor people. And sometimes people are poor out of circumstances beyond their control, you know, whereas that's not what Jesus was about. And, you know, he was about helping and loving your neighbor. So it makes me angry to see it misconstrued. Even if I don't necessarily follow it, I know that's not what I believe anyway, what Jesus would be happy about. So it makes me angry and sad.
Now, you're seeing more and more on the left turn towards this spiritualism, towards this paganism, kind of the hippy dippy free spirit, free love, no real confined rules to religion. What do you think that has been what do you think was the appeal to that move for people on the left as someone who lives on the left?
Well, and you know, because I grew up very conservative, so I kind of just did a complete flip-flop. Typically, I think that probably has a lot to do with anarchists typically fall more like on the left spectrum. And I feel like that probably this idea of, again, not having rules or like no governing body is probably another reason why it's more of an uptick on the left, because it's just this, again, idea of like, I don't need the threat of hell or the reward of heaven to be a good person. Like, I'm a good person because this is the right thing to do, and this is the moral thing to do and the ethical thing to do. And I think that a lot of people on the left, I guess, share that sentiment that like, I don't need threats or rewards, just be a good person. And I don't need rules to tell me how to be a good person. You know what I mean?
I get that. When you, are you wearing a Charlie Manson shirt, by the way?
No, actually, and it really wasn't planned. I just washed it. No, it's a black craft shirt, and it's got a nun on it with a pentagram on the forehead. But on the back of the shirt, it says, "Sorry, Miss Church, I was busy practicing witchcraft and becoming a lesbian."
You wore that for this podcast. Admit it.
Probably unconsciously made that decision. Yeah, just like.
All right. As we wrap things up here, let's take a shift towards the spiritual side of politics. When you see the fights that we've had for Wiccans who served in the army, who died in the army, and were unable to get a Wiccan symbol on their headstone, when you see this growing number of people on the right who are trying to suppress other religions and, like in Oklahoma, make the Bible a mandatory textbook. What does that do to you, to your rage?
Oh, my rage knows no bounds. it infuriates me a lot. I don't know. I don't even know if I have words. I feel like I've been so angry for a while with all of this.
Just don't use the F word. You can use any word but that.
I won't use that word. No, but I think also too, being a social worker and having work, and I work with, you know, populations like children in foster care. It's like, kids don't need the Bible. Okay. That's not what these kids need. They need love, education, and nurturing. You know, I don't know. Like, I just can't. It just makes me mad, because it's just like, how does having the Ten Commandments or the Bible in school, how does that help kids? How does that help kids? Getting rid of 504 plans, but putting the Ten Commandments in school, that's going to help kids? That doesn't help kids. And most of the kids, because the education system is so bad here in America, probably wouldn't even understand the Ten Commandments, much less be able to read it themselves. So what, like, it's just, it. I'm angry. I'm so angry that I feel like I can't even form coherent sentences.
Well, I've always said that I don't want the government teaching kids religion, because I don't think it's the government's job to have a state endorsed religion. I think that it is a parent's responsibility to teach about religion to their kids. It's a parent's responsibility to basically bring up their child correctly. Now, I have friends who are devout Muslims who are absolutely shining examples of what it's like to be a father, a loving father, caring husband. I have some friends who are Jewish that are amazing people that have a gay son and just absolutely love him unconditionally, even though I think the Torah is against that. So, I mean, I've seen parents of all religions do very well with their kids. And I've seen parents, mostly because most of my friends are WASP, I've seen some really bad parents who have not done well with their kids, who are holy on Sunday and hellacious the rest of the week. So I get that. And the two-sidedness, the double-facedness of it all. When we see all of this going on, What do you think is the ultimate answer? Do you think there is a chance for redemption for the spiritual path, or do you think that all spiritual path ultimately leads to corruption?
I don't think all spiritual paths lead to corruption. Sorry. I do think that Christianity has kind of has become intertwined with it, just because it is the most popular religion, and it's a very dominant religion. Of course, it goes back to, like, not getting to all of it, but goes back to kind of like Reagan and like this idea of marrying Christian nationalism with conservatism just for a reach of power. But I don't necessarily think that all, because I think there's examples of other religions that aren't seeking power. That makes sense.
You see the Prime Minister of India basically going after non-Hindu Indians. You see the theocracies of Iran and Afghanistan and the problems they bring, basically offshoots of ISIS and then the Taliban. So do you think it's possible to have, I mean, outside of the Buddhists, who really, they're just there to be one with the universe and all that. I'm sure there are probably some militant Buddhists somewhere, but for the most part, you see all these major religions strive to get in power and then use their power when they're in there to oppress other religions. Do you think that's just what all religions will ultimately do if they seek that power?
I mean, I have thought about this before, and my knee-jerk reaction is to say, yeah, I kind of do feel that way. But I'm trying to guess, I just want to give like an unbiased answer. But I mean, I've been biased this whole time, so like, why start now? Yeah, what's the quote? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I just feel like people, I don't think the religions themselves are necessarily bad. But it's the people that are, for whatever reason, have this need to be in power, are just so power hungry, and they weaponize religion. I feel like that trend could happen with any major religion, or has happened. I mean,
because that's why we have like India and Pakistan, because the Muslims and Hindus cannot get along. So they shipped all the Muslims to Pakistan and all the Hindus to India. And there are still some Indians who are Muslim, but the new prime minister is being an absolute jerk to them and cracking down on that, and blaming them for lots of problems, using them as a scapegoat. I've never seen a country use a religious group for a scapegoat before. That's never happened before. All in all, when you look at it, your spiritual growth, your spiritual path, do you feel more fulfilled now with what you're doing compared to what you were back in the Baptist or Church of Christ era of your life?
Yes, and I don't feel guilty for just being a person and not being perfect.
All right. So one last question. Huh? Do you believe in an afterlife?
That's a good question. And I honestly, I don't know. Like, I like to entertain the idea. I would like to hope so. Like, it's hard for me to fathom, like, this is it. This, you know, we just cease to exist afterwards. So I'd like to think there is, but do I 100% fully believe it? I don't know. The verdict's still out on that.
You want to die, come back and see if there was?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's reincarnation. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
You could do a Flatliner. You ever see that movie?
No. Oh, I know what movie you're talking about.
It's
freaky. Yeah.
But all right. Well, Lauren, if they want to find your posts on social media, if you want to be shared on social media, where can they find you on Instagram, TikTok, all that jazz?
Well, I don't post on TikTok. I just get on and scroll. But Facebook, but I'm trying to take a social media break because it's taking a toll on me.
Is there anywhere that they can read your thoughts that you won't have to be stalked to be found?
I mean, my Facebook is still active. I just don't currently have the app. I deleted the app earlier.
For your mental health. That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart. All right. Well, I am David Sears. You can find me on Twitter at David Sears 75. I'm sorry, on X at David Sears 75. On Instagram, David Sears 1982. And soon to be launching the David Sears experience.blogspot.com. So I'll be writing my thoughts there. God help you if you read those. Lauren, thank you very much for joining me this evening. I hope I didn't frighten you with my line of questioning or frustrate you too badly.
No, I don't think I got frustrated at all. I really just didn't know what to expect. And I kind of feel like I should have done more homework.
You want to do it? You want to do a follow-up? You want to do a follow-up episode?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
You name the time and place, and I'll give you a week to study.
Okay.
You can cram for an exam. You can cram for the exam.
Yeah. You just give me the questions beforehand.
Will do. All right. This is David Sears for the Tony Curry Podcast Network. I am with you for conversations that nobody wants to have. And we will join you again later this week when our special guest will be Dr. Josh Claypo as we talk about masculinity and fragile masculinity, all coming up on the conversations that nobody wants to have.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.